Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey, Power Movers, how are we doing? I'm here today with Lance, and Lance is a very successful business owner. He runs an architectural design company. He's in Denver and has an interesting story to tell us. So, Lance, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me all the time. My moniker on LinkedIn is serial entrepreneur. My preferred pronouns are positive reactionary. And people ask me all the time when they first meet me after they tell me what they do, who they are and all of that. And they finally run out of steam and I go, how about you? What do you do? And I go, it depends on the day and time. Because as the moniker goes, serial entrepreneur, sometimes I'm an architect, sometimes I'm a builder, sometimes I'm a real estate developer, sometimes I'm a podcaster like yourself. Sometimes I'm a professor at university. Sometimes I'm a professional fisherman. And sometimes I'm also a philanthropist. So I do a lot of different stuff. And then usually the next question I get is, how do you do all that stuff? So.
Professional fisherman. I like that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. That's awesome.
I can tell you what, yesterday I had a really amazing adventure. I had dated another architect at some other point in my life. And one of the fascinating things she told me, I will carry this through forever now. And I'm trying to instill that staff does this as well for all of our clients, whether we're building for them or designing or whatever. Is we should aim to get three things out of every project. And it should be a friend, a photo, and a fee. And so I've been really working hard on that. And yesterday I took my most favorite client currently. His name is Robert. He's 67 years old. He moved from New York City out here to Colorado to, he bought a house and in the foothills. It's just a dreamy location. It looks out at the Front Range and you get this amazing panoramic view. And he and his wife, Yumi, hired us to architect and then also redo the interior and some of the exterior of their home. We're just modernizing it. And that's a pretty big project, $1 million renovation. But I've really worked really hard. I just really love that man. And I took him fishing yesterday. And this isn't the first time that we've hung out outside of work. I invited him over for dinner with me and the missus within a month or two of starting their project. But yesterday, he and I went on a 16-mile round trip hike. So 8 miles up, 8 miles down, 2,000 feet of elevation gain. We went from 9,000 feet above sea level to 11,000 feet and went to an alpine lake that I had been dreaming of ice fishing for about 5 or 6 years. It's very hard to get to, super remote. We were the only people on the trail. We were the only people at the lake yesterday. And I put him on, my goal was, besides just being able to ice fish that lake and get up there, is for the first time was to put him on a trophy fish. Because he's not like a fisherman or anything. He's definitely an outdoorsy person and he runs these amazing long, like 100-kilometer races and stuff. He's in insane shape for 67. He's just an incredible person. But sure enough, he pulled out a giant 19-inch long alpine cutthroat fish. It's like pure red. You should see the photo. It's completely incredible. And just made my day, made his day.
Please send me that photo. I'm going to put it on this podcast.
Oh, you should. Yeah, it should be. I think it should be like the preview. Yeah, he's just amazing. Yeah, it's a really eye-catching. But yeah, so I have a YouTube channel called Fishing with Lance. And we have a lot of sponsors for the channel. We help them sell their products. We give like podcasting, right? Yeah. And so we're Colorado's number one most subscribed to YouTube channel for fishing. We have 126,000 subscribers, I think, something like that. Yeah. And I don't guide professionally because I just do it through, I just get paid through promoting the other products and then from YouTube. But I take my best friends and the most people that are close to me up on these very special adventures. Yeah, that's the fishing in the nut in a nutshell.
When I'm next in Denver, I'm going to come and visit you and you're going to go, we go fishing.
Absolutely, I will take you, Roy, 100%, and I'll take you on an easy one.
Yeah, please. My partner's daughter is in Boulder.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we're actually, I say Denver because a lot of folks are like, it'd be like if I said Minneapolis for Minnesota. We actually are, we're I'm like 10 miles east of Boulder, so real close to Boulder. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, lovely part of the world. And yeah, what always strikes me when I go there, you're at such a high elevation anyway. You do, yeah, I can understand why the athletes go there to train. Come down to the sea level where it's really heavy air, that makes a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's dig in. Yeah, I love that entrepreneur, yeah, serial entrepreneur. It took me a while to actually accept that's what I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I'd always, yeah, and it took me probably 20 years. I'd opened 20 companies in that time. And the first big failure I had was an adventure center that I bought just before COVID. I fought my way through that and it nearly killed me in a number of different ways. And when that failed, that was the switch in my head that said, you know what? I got up from this, I stood, I carried on. So, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah. What does that mean to you, being an entrepreneur?
Oh, it's freedom. I went fishing yesterday. It was Wednesday. Yeah. It's freedom. It's risk. It's reward. But yeah, at the core of it, it's freedom and really taking control of your own destiny. The reason why I even have my own architecture firm is because I was laid off by two schmucks in Boulder who were just awful at business. And they were very short-sighted in terms of, I think, what they were trying to build. Great designers. I would never say they were bad architects, but real awful business people. At least back then. As a matter of fact, they ended up breaking up 3 years after I got laid off in 2009, 2012, they broke up. And then we had started our firm in 2010. I just never wanted to have that feeling again for myself. And then I also made sure I took the responsibility on of, that's good for you, Lance. Like, you can't lay yourself off. It's your own business. You can fail, but you're not going to lay yourself off. The same thing goes for my employees. It's been 15 years, almost 16. It'll be 16 in January 2026. And we haven't had one layoff. We haven't laid anybody off. And that's really good for an architecture and construction firm because it's very up and down in the United States. So yeah, that's the primary reason is I'm just hyper paranoid about not having work and being able to eat and buy cool fishing stuff and support my family and my wife and all of that good stuff.
I think that freedom piece is so important. And yeah, this is why people get into being an entrepreneur. This is why people start on their own. And yeah, if you're not careful, your business becomes your prison, right?
Yeah.
We go into it for freedom. We go into it because we really love this idea of freedom. We go from our 8 or 9 hour job into our 16 hour job. We go from £200,000 a year term salary to nothing. And if you don't do well at it, suddenly you realize you're in a way worse position than you were, with a much, much bigger workload, way more responsibility. And this is 70% of business owners are near burnout, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the freedom. So, what are your secrets to that? You've built a very successful
Oh.
enterprise, as it were. What have been the main things that you've learned from that?
I used to say it was all about discipline and scheduling, but really, I think at the core of it's that plus top of mind mentality. I've been trying to bring that to the forefront of if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you're going to be a successful one. Especially, you're going to be the head of the company or co-head, like I am, of ours, all of them. And it's top, using top of mind mentality. So, if something comes to the top of your mind, I don't mean whimsical stuff. I'm saying, like, if my plumber calls me and says, there's a problem, and I talk to him and I acknowledge it, then I need to act on it, like, immediately. And that way, it's top of mind, you're addressing it. Then it's out of mind and it's in motion and you keep things flowing. There's a lot of, you're the stopgap. You are the person who keeps things flowing or not mostly. And when you're at the top of the food chain. So that's number one is I've really been trying to instill that using top of mind mentality. And it goes for personal too. Here's one that I like to tell people to do personally, because it happens for a reason. I'm a believer. I'm a very much a Christian Catholic, and I just believe that God is whispering, showing his fingerprints all the time in that sort of a way. And so every once in a while, what'll happen is I'll get somebody will pop into my head. It'll be somebody that I maybe haven't talked to in 10, 20 years. For some reason, it'll pop into my head. And I don't know how many times I've then, when they pop into my head, I send them a text. Hey, I'm just reaching out. You popped
Yeah.
into my head the other day. How are you? And they reach back and they go,
I'm just thinking about you.
not only that, but thank you, because I was having a really bad day. That's happened a lot. Been having a really bad day, and it was really interesting that you reached out. And then I've had it happen in my life too, where people reach out in that certain way. Like, for instance, we had a troll on the fishing channel last week, the week before last week. Just this awful person, just ripping on us and all this other stuff. And then the next day, I had a fan reach out and he goes, hey man, I've been watching you for 3 or 4 years. I really appreciate what you do. Like, you take us on these adventures and keep up the good work. And I go, oh my God, thank you. Like, how, the timing of all of that was incredible. And I go, you want to go fishing sometime? And he goes, oh my God, really? And I go, yeah. So I took him fishing, and it was the same sort of adventure I just described to you with my client Robert. Put him on these amazing fish, like kind of an adventure of a lifetime. Maybe he never would have got to that lake before. And then you make these really interesting connections. So top of mind is number one. And the other one is discipline. Discipline equals freedom. And that's, I realize that's a Jocko phrase, this American influencer, but it really does. And so I'm my morning routine is my kind of my day is very structured, even though I have this sort of freedom. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I wake up, I go to bed early, 9 or 10, wake up at 4 or 5, and my routine is all generally always the same. Wake up, big glass of water. Start grinding the coffee, put the teapot on, getting ready for coffee. Then I go pray the rosary, stretch, come back, coffee's about ready, and go to my computer. And I call those first 2 hours in the morning from 5 to 7 or like 6 to 8 before everybody else gets up, the golden hours. And it's literal and metaphorical, right? Because the sun is coming up, I'm getting that circadian rhythm reset and setting me up for success that day. But then also, that's actually when you come up with the golden ideas, you make the most money, where the real creative entrepreneurial mindset comes from. And like, you're sending out maybe some very, the marketing ideas that I come up with like during that time are incredible. So those two huge factors, I think, in that routine are super helpful for. And then I schedule everything. I schedule fishing trips, I schedule time with my wife. It's all very organized. My family, who is like my nucleus family, like my mother, father, especially my dad, he shrieks at seeing this calendar because he thinks it's anal. And I'm like, it's actually very freeing. Like, I know exactly where I got to be. And every time I'm not pulled back, I'm in control instead of chaos being in control of me.
Yeah, agreed. I love that. I do sleep at 9 o'clock. I get up at 5 o'clock. My morning routine is breath work, it's meditation, it's some PT, then I get in the ice bath. And yeah, I love this kind of that golden hour thing for me. I actually set my day in accordance with when I have the power in my mind to do things. So I know before 11 o'clock, I am way better in terms of my thinking, in terms of my creativity, in terms of actually getting things done. Then after 11 o'clock, I'm lesser. So I set meetings normally later on in the day. I think things that I can put less effort into, or repetitive tasks, anything later on in the day. And I think we should all do that. I think we should actually have our energy map for the day, work out when we're better. My brother, he's a night person, right? He's useless in the morning until midday. Yeah, and then later is better. So we all have these rhythms that work for us, but the other side of it. But yeah, for me, game changer when I started doing that.
Yeah.
So let's dig into your business a little bit, and then not into your business necessarily. Your journey of you spoke about leaving and starting your company, and I know you've taken on project after project, and as these projects have gone up and grown, they've been successful in each day. How do you manage that level of different things? You said yourself before when we spoke, I've got all these things I'm doing, and people are like, how are you doing all that? And for me, that's always the thing, right? Yeah, I think as entrepreneurs, we have the superpower called ADHD, Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
And yeah, so how do you manage? You've mentioned your calendar. Yeah, how do you manage the ideas that come in? Because I'm sure if you're like me, you have probably 100 ideas a day that are all awesome.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, a really good question. I used to write them down, but now we've got these just beautiful little computers in our pocket. I record myself talking a lot.
Yeah.
And then I'll actually you my workflow is this. I will record myself talking about something, an idea, an architectural idea, could be like how I it could be a critique on an employee. But there's an audio recording that happened. So how about this? I had a really recent example was I was coming down on Monday from the mountains. I was up there, sure enough, checking on conditions to see if I could go up on Wednesday. And I had my business partner call me at 4:30, and we hit the record button on the iPhone now, which you can record the audio, and you can also have it transcribe it in real time. And so then what I'll do is I'll take that transcription and run it through ChatGPT or Grok, and I will have it just bullet point it for me and condense it. And then I take it from there and then I humanize it at the end. Another example of that was like we were applying for this special status with the feds here in the United States. And I had to basically recant three stories from when I was coming into the profession for whatever reason, to just show qualifications. And so I told the stories to the audio in 10 to 15 minutes each. And then I used a piece of software called Happy Scribe, and I uploaded that to that, and it transcribed it for me in writing. Then I put it into ChatGPT or Grok again, how to write a story. And then I took it and did the final editing. So I like to sandwich. I like to use technology in a sandwich fashion where I'm with a piece of bread on either side. I'm the human end start of the loaf too. Like I'm in the end loaf pieces of a piece of a loaf of bread. So that's my workflow. I like that a lot.
I love that. And I was just sharing on the previous podcast with somebody. I love the AI for a couple of reasons. I love it because I was never able to journal, right? My handwriting is so bad, I should have been a doctor. And yeah, but I run around with all these ideas in my head. So in the morning, I get up. Yeah, one of the first things I'll do is I'll just do a massive brain dump into ChatGPT or to one of the, excuse me, one of the tools. And I'll say, I'm going to do a brain dump. I want you to help me order these things. These are my goals for the next 2 weeks. And yeah, I want you to put these things in order to make sure I get to all my goals. Yeah. And I literally just blur it out there. And that just is so freeing for me because
Isn't it?
it just opens up my mind. And it's just
Yeah.
the new age journaling, right? Yeah. Which people are just looking at AI at the moment. And I love the US because the people that I'm meeting here are a bit further down the road with it. In the UK, people are still a little bit scared of it.
Oh, yeah.
But we seem to be a little bit further. I'm actually in Seattle at the moment. We seem to be a little bit further along the journey. And there's this elevation piece that AI does. It elevates your thinking.
Yeah.
I can actually think outside my brain now. And let me explain that quickly. Beforehand, what we needed to do, we'd go to university, we'd learn a whole bunch of stuff, and then we'd keep on learning. We'd bring the stuff into our mind. Then we'd have to store the stuff in our mind, right?
Yeah.
And then we'd go out and we'd create content. Yeah, so this was how we've been for so long. And now we're evolving into a different way of thinking, right? Because now we're saying, okay, I don't need to know all the stuff. Any information anywhere is now available to me, right? Yeah, and it's available to me if I can just access it correctly. I need to know the problem, I need to know the context, and I need to know where to look for the solutions. And I can now go, I've done probably 7 years of work in the last 6 months, right? Just because of that, I'm like, okay, this is my problem. This is what I've heard. These are the people that I like. This is the output that I'm trying to get to. I want you to be a thought partner here. I want you to be, I'm going to remain the critical thinking partner. You're going to be my thought partner. I want you to tell me what things that I'm missing here. Don't be a yes man because you are such a yes man, right? And just help me in my thinking here. And you just get a totally different way of thinking. And then I can go out and I can build stuff. I can build automations. I can do stuff that I never thought possible. I'm not a visual person at all. And you're a visual person, obviously. I'm not a visual person. So I'm like, okay, this is a challenge that I've accepted in myself. Now I say to ChatGPT, or I say to one of the other models, Grok, I like as well. Right, okay, I need you to help me build out this funnel, for example. I don't know anything about user design. I don't know anything about visuals. I want it to be visual for this ICP, for this audience. And yeah, and I take a picture of it and say, well, I'll take a screenshot. So this is what I've got. What do I need to do? Yeah. And it'll say, okay, what are your brand colors? What are your, and then we put those in. And they say, okay, move this line here, do this and do that. And it literally, I don't need to know the skill. I don't need to go learn the skills out there for me to actually bring in.
Yeah, the US is, that's an interesting perspective. I'm glad you, thank you for just pointing out that maybe, I guess we're, maybe it's just because we're on average more entrepreneurial and we just maybe are not afraid of it and using it as a tool. I think it's really important you don't let the tool pull you, that's for sure. I really have tried to rein it in like that. Really try to make sure that I feed it first and then I pull it back out and polish it. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people are not doing is they're not bookending it with humanism, and that's an issue.
100%. I think the opportunity in the next year, 2 years, we're going to see such a change. We're already seeing a massive change, but we're going to see an even bigger change. And yeah, the change that we're going to see is that there's going to be a range of people that are going to go one way, and they're going to let AI become the master and just do what AI says. And then there's a range of people that are going to get understand that what AI can do for us is it can automate those menial tasks, and it can then from there we can be more human. Right. And yeah, this is our opportunity. It's not to use AI to do everything, it's to use AI to let us be more human. So I love your bookend thing. That's just amazing. And very much what I do. AI is a 60% tool. It can do 60% of the job. And it'll allow you to do the job at a better output, more quality, more information in there. But it's only a 60% tool. Think of it as a 100% tool, then you've lost the battle already. Right.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like for example, we do these podcasts, and it used to take me, first of all, I paid someone, then it used to take me an hour and a half to get all this information up onto Captivate, which I use. Yeah, now I'm like, okay, I spent probably a month doing this in and out and asking AI to help me building out an automation for it. So now I take the audio file from here, change the name on it, drop it in there, and it goes all the way through the process. Yeah, I check that the show notes are right. I check that everything looks okay. I've got a blog at the end of it. I've got a LinkedIn, a social media post. I've got a whole range of other stuff. I use Opus to get the clips out. And now it takes me 3 or 4 minutes rather than an hour and just run through that. So if you can use AI to actually spend more time with people and do more things with people, I think those are the people that are going to be really kind of powerful. And it's not AI that's going to take your job. It's the people that are using AI that's going to take it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. We go through and we have this, as business owners, we see a problem. And this is what I love about entrepreneurs, right? We see a problem in the world and we say, okay, we can help fix that problem. And then we give everything we can to fix that problem. We build, we grow, we scale. And to your point of not letting people go, one of the tools I, or one of the things I do is I coach a business operating system. Have you come across EOS or any of those? Worth looking into. So there's a company called 90. And 90 has a business operating system, which is just they're working on the business piece and gives a structure to working on the business. And there's people are scaling up and others. And the key piece there is people, right? One of the nine core competencies is people. And people are so important. And when I started out, I used to do this thing where I'd hire a new person and I'd tell this new person, actually, by the way, just do this. And I'll just run through it very quickly to them. And I didn't give them enough information. Then they come back to me and they haven't done it correctly. And I would say, oh, that's not right. Well, didn't you get it? And that the poor guy sitting there, he's saying, yeah, I got it, got it, because I'm the boss. Yeah. And he has to say that. And so I'm really interested to understand how you deal with people and how you manage to go through all this growth, not letting anyone go.
Well, we created a vertically integrated firm. I think that's number one. And then we try to survive. We've always tried to serve the 99 plus 1%. So one of the reasons why I was laid off, and one of the reasons why my business partner was laid off from the firm he was working for at the time, was those architects were not diversified with their workflow and their customer base and even their procurement, the means of procurement and sales. So a lot of them were just word of mouth. That was really shocking, I think, to understand is that, oh, wow, You don't even want to think about this like a business, and it's just word of mouth, and that's how people are finding you. And they can't just go search for architect. And they also didn't want to, they had this highfalutin, we're not going to deal with the average person coming in and needing an architect, which is real. There's a lot of small business owners that we serve who open up their first coffee shop, their first dog grooming shop, stuff like that. And we try to make it happen with fees that are reasonable, but still make us 10% at least, type of thing. So there's that base layer of it, but then there's also the vertical integration. So that where that comes into play is I'd always wanted to do a real estate development because one of my architectural heroes is Jonathan Segal. He operates out of San Diego and he vertically integrated when I was in college. He made this course called Architect as Developer. And what he was really trying to do is he was trying to go back to what the original word architect even means, which is master builder. Back in the day, that's what it was. It was like if you're an architect, then you're also like even Frank Lloyd Wright did it. You actually build, go out there and work with your hands and or at least direct the team and understand how it's built, and maybe you're even putting your own money, and then you're wearing all three hats, right? So from 2010 to 2007, during our first 7 years of startup, we did do two design build projects that laid the groundwork for us to then formally vertically integrate and after that and then start the construction firm and then the real estate development firm.
So, for those people that might not understand the term vertically integrate, just give us, the summary of that.
For us, I'll give you the example. The example is if you're an architect, you get the client first. Then usually the drawings get handed to a builder, and the builder has his own separate company and goes and builds the things. And then the other way it can work is if your client is a real estate developer and the real estate developer buys the land, then he hires you, the architect, then it gets handed off to the developer or to the builder. In our case, since we own all three companies, F9 is the architecture firm, F14 is the construct builder, and F12 Productions is the real estate developer. It's incestuous in that we're hiring ourselves, but all of a sudden we're getting paid three, maybe even four times, depending on how you structure it. And so it's this ecosystem that is much more sustainable, especially if you can maintain the work. So the most precise the we don't do we won't we've actually only done one real estate development, but from that spawned the full-fledged construction company. And what we do is we don't build for everybody that we architect for. We only build for a certain select amount of clients because that's all we need to do anyway to make what we want to and sustain the firm and all of that good stuff. And it extends the longevity of those projects, right? So if we're designing something for somebody that takes 3 months, instead of us just only having cash flow for 3 months, and that if we end up being their builder too, all of a sudden we cash flow for another six months on top of that. And that's how the vertical integration can work. So you're trying to find whatever company you are. Let's say you make widgets. Can you also be the miner of the products that go into the widgets? And then can you also be the distributor of the widgets? And that's how you try to cover your bases.
And even there's an example or a way to describe it, which I really love. If you're a guy that's busy wandering around in the desert, right, and you're like you've been wandering around for a while, you're really done, and you see an oasis, and you walk up to the oasis, and as you get to the oasis, this guy comes wandering up to you and he's like, "Hey, how are you doing? How can I help you?" And the guy's, "Oh, I'd love some water." Then as the guy standing there in this oasis, you're the business owner, you need to be thinking, what else might you want? So how else can I help you? I'd love to call my parents. I'd love to call the family, people I know. I'd love somewhere to stay. I'd love a meal. What are all the things that that one person could possibly want from you that it can make it the best possible kind of example or best possible outcome for them? And then even if you don't have the ability to provide all those things, obviously, if you do have the ability to provide those things, have the answer where to get all those things. Because you can make commissions, you can make referral fees, you can make all sorts of things on all these different kind of approaches, right? I think that vertical integration and that being able to really serve your client in a way that the problem is properly solved is so important in business, right?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not going to keep you for too much longer. Where's the future? Obviously, you're living the life you love, and I love that. That's the whole thing. I spent a couple of weeks ago, I was in France for a week, and then before that, I was in free diving in the Red Sea. And what I
Ooh.
actually want to do is go up into your lake and do some diving in there when it's frozen, because I've done that in Finland. I do cold exposure.
Whoa.
We went to Finland and we were free diving under the ice, and wow, what a mind
That
blow.
would be intense. That would be amazing. I would love to see footage of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you some. Yeah,
Yeah.
awesome. And yeah, it was. It's just this, how can you push your mind and your body to those next levels? Because we're so capable of doing so much, and we just limit ourselves all the time. But anyway, yeah, what are the next stages? Yeah, well, how does Lance go forward?
Great question. Yeah, I had thought. So we're at a staff of 10 right now, 8 architects, 2 interior designers, and then that's the architecture firm. And then Alex and I are the general contractors in the construction firm. But then our project architects and our interior designers do construction administration, and we end up billing the construction firm. That's how it all works. But I had the reason I'm painting the picture for everybody is I had thought I'd wanted maybe more than 12 people at one point. And now I don't. And here's why. What I've noticed is, and this is from, I've tried to, one of the smartest things you can do is can I learn from somebody else's mistakes? And I've saw my engineers, multiple firms, I think 3 now, where it's these guys or gals will break off from this big engineering firm. And by big, that's 30 or 40 people. That's pretty big in the United States. And they break away, they create their own little firm, one or two people to start out with. And maybe we work with that, their new firm, because that's who we were used to working with them or whatever. And it's an amazing experience for the first couple of years. They're fast, they're nimble, they are the opposite of the big firm. They're providing high quality customer service. They're enthusiastic about their work, they're enthusiastic about business. There's an energy that everybody gravitates to because they're like a breath of fresh air.
The
And
human.
yeah, and then I see them. Then a lot of people start gravitating to them to the point where the growth is so explosive. As soon as they hit the number 12 and they go past that in terms of that many people working in that company, the customer service goes from A to B and then eventually down to C, and they're right back to where they started. So my learning lesson is we are a class A firm when it comes to customer service. If you go look on Google, there's nobody that has more 5-star ratings for either of our offices, our Longmont office or our Denver office, for architect in the state of Colorado. We're number one in customer service. And I want to stay that way. And I am a firm believer now that, like, in the number of 12 or less for what we do, which is boutique architecture, boutique homes, boutique multifamily developments, boutique commercial and industrial buildings, small ones. And I really like the pocket we're in. I'm not sure I want to do the huge stuff. That's just not for us. So I think for us, it's on that note then, we do want to establish an office actually in the mountains so that we can get work up in Aspen and all of that. But even then, it would just be a core of 3 people. And then maybe we're split between the 2 Front Range offices with 4 in each office. And I think we're sitting pretty good. But that's what's in the future for us, is I actually want to just try to now maintain this very high level of customer service that we have established and made a name for ourselves on in Colorado.
And I'm talking to people about this quite often on the AI front. They've got 10 people, they've got 15 people, they're turning over 5, 10 million, whatever it is at that stage. And the conversation I have is, right, let's learn AI. And they're like, no, because I'm going to have to let people go. And I say to them, why don't you look at it this way? Now with AI, you can do 10 times the work, right? So how do you actually automate what you're doing, keep the human in there, let your staff work instead of working 10 hours a day, let them work 6 hours a day and do 10 times more with the same staff and bring the human into it? How can I automate the processes that need to be automated, leave the rest out? And I guess for architectural stuff, that's a little bit different. I'm sure there's a lot of tools and things coming in at the moment that
Yeah.
are going to enable that. Does that kind of resonate?
100% resonates. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's just something about being nimble that's really important to me. Because you asked earlier too, and I about how do you do all of these various things and do them well. We talked about top of mind, but it's also putting systems in place through software that have allowed us to, and then also creating even just like a culture of systems. Paul Acres' 2 Second Lean really transformed our office culture. We read it, I think, 6 years ago now. And if people haven't read it, they should read it if they own businesses. He basically went to Toyota, examined them, understood how Toyota start was crushing American car manufacturers. It was because they had two-second lean processes. So they figured out, they go, look, if we're making this part a million times, how can we lean it by 2 seconds? It'll increase our bottom line. We can still put out a great product. And that philosophy is our through line in what we do.
Amazing. All right, Lance, it's been great chatting. If you were to give new entrepreneurs just one tip, what would that be?
If you started your business in the Great Recession or in a downturn, keep your head up because every day is a better day. That's actually the best time to start a business because you'll be just like me. You started it during a Great Recession with zero clients, zero portfolio, and every day is better than the next. You'll never be hungrier. There's never been a diamond that hasn't been created without intense pressure. And that's what you're doing right now as a startup entrepreneur.
Amazing. Thanks very much for being on, Lance. I'll put Lance's details below. We can follow his fishing channel. I'm looking forward to that. And maybe I'll come up and see you in Denver and we can go diving in the lake.
There you go. Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Roy. It was a pleasure.
Ciao, ciao. Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power, where our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.